The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 30. It's on page 118 of the New Testament. Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 30. Allow me to read the words of God. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evil doors. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." Amen. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem from Galilee, going through Berea, with only a few months left until the end of his public ministry. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed hidden in the garden, and the yeast used to leaven the flour. The mustard seed is only 1 to 2 millimeters big, but it was not the smallest seed in Palestine. But the mustard seed represented the small and insignificant. There is a Korean idiom, "My liver became as small as a pea," which is used to describe a fearful situation. A pea is not the smallest grain, but when one is fearful or becomes afraid, one does not say, "My liver is as small as rice," or "My liver is as small as sesame." It is common to say, "My liver is as small as pea," when one is afraid or fears something. Similarly, the mustard seed was commonly used to describe something small and insignificant. Then a mustard seed grows up to 3 meters big, and it is actually an annual plant. But we refer to it as a tree not because it grows like a pine tree. A fully grown mustard seed starts to dry up in May, so when the dry season begins, it was ordinary for birds to sit on the dried up mustard tree. Even if a mustard seed seems small and insignificant, there is life in it, so it surely grows and matures. Moreover, people usually include 1/60th of the flour mix as yeast. So for about 54 kilograms of flour, less than 100 grams of yeast is used, which is very small compared to the entire amount of the mix. So it looks as if the yeast disappears and the flour engulfs the yeast when yeast is put into the mix. However, the same yeast leavens the mix, changing the taste and the nature of the mix. Now is such time, the time where the kingdom of God seems like the mustard seed planted in the garden and the flour mix seems to have absorbed the yeast. The kingdom of God is infinitesimal to us, difficult to see whether the mustard seed has been planted, nor whether the yeast is in the mix. So many people disregard and ridicule the kingdom of God. Some argue that it is more worthy to follow what the kingdom of the world pursue instead of living in the kingdom of God. And they also say that living out their value system and thoughts will lead to a successful life instead of obeying the words of God. We Christians are not exempted from this either. We also ignore the kingdom of God, which is small to see. So we harbor desires to live an ostentatious, showy life, bragging about their kingdom instead of hoping for the kingdom of God and living under the sovereignty of God. But when the time is ripe, the kingdom of God will become even more conspicuous in each and every one of our lives. As Jesus headed toward Jerusalem to bear the cross, someone asked the question. He seems to have heard Jesus' message about how the kingdom of God is similar to the mustard seed planted in the garden and the yeast included in the flour mix. His question was the following in verse 23. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He seems to know well about who Jesus is, so he asked about salvation. If the kingdom of God exists in such a small and insignificant form on earth, will many people be saved? To this question, Jesus did not answer yes or no. Instead, he answered indirectly in verse 24, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to." Jesus told them to make every effort to enter through the narrow door. The phrase "make every effort" is used to describe how a sports player uses all his might in a race to win a medal or to win against the opponent. Every 4 years, there is the Summer Olympics and the Winter Olympics. The highlight of the Winter Olympics are usually referred to the women's figure skating and the final game of the men's ice hockey. And the highlight of the Summer Olympics are the 100 meter sprint and the marathon. In the former race, runners compete to find out who is the fastest person in the world, and the latter is a race testing the limits of a human body. The former requires the shortest time to find the winner, while the latter takes up the longest time. In the 2016 Rio Olympics held in Brazil, Usain Bolt from Jamaica was the winner of the men's 100-meter race. He became the only sports player to win the 100-meter race 3 times in the history of Olympics. His record was 9.81 seconds, and Justin Gatlin, an American who won the silver medal, had a record of 9.89. The bronze medalist, Andre DeGrasse from Canada, came in at 9.91 seconds. The distance between the gold medalist and silver medalist was about 80 centimeters. And the distance between the silver medalist and the bronze medalist was about 20 centimeters. The distance of 80 centimeters and 20 centimeters changed the color of the medal. How nerve-wracking must it be for those runners to stand at the starting line? And how hard will they run when they hear the sound of the starting gun? In the marathon of Rio Olympics, Kipchoge, a Kenyan runner, won with the record of 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 44 seconds. He holds the world record for marathon currently from the Berlin Marathon held last year with the record of 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds. It is the equivalent of repeating the 100-meter race within 17.2 seconds 420 times, or repeating the 200-meter race at 34 seconds 210 times. Except for a few healthy youth, it is hard for an average person to run 200 meters in 34 seconds. At the Chicago Marathon Expo last year, there was an event to demonstrate how amazing Kipchoge's record was. Treadmills were installed for people to try running 200 meters within 34 seconds. But many people tripped because the speed was too fast, although it was a short distance. Jesus says that we have to try as so to enter the narrow door. Even if there is an obstacle holding down our ankle, we have to run and finish the race. Usain Bolt, who holds the unattainable record of winning the 100-meter race 3 times at 2016 Rio Olympics, had his retirement race at the World Championship in Athletics held in London the year after the Olympics. There, he could not win the gold medal. Justin Gatlin, who had won the silver medal at the Olympics, won, and Bolt came in third. Usain Bolt also came out as the fourth runner in the 400-meter relay, but he had a cramp while running, so he couldn't finish. Bolt was found to have spent the previous night out drinking and dancing until late into the evening, which became a topic for gossip. No matter how good a player is, he cannot overcome the weight of time and the lack of practice. A life of walking into the narrow door and continuing on that path has to continue until the last breath we take on this earth. Refer to great sports players as the genius, the king of his game, or the queen of her sport, but the players themselves do not let such words because people gloss over the effort behind the result. No one reaches such level without practicing less than other players, and no one skips trying hard to hone in his or her skill to maintain that position. It is the same for the life of faith. No one grows and matures in faith naturally. There's no one who lives a new and changed life without self-sacrifice, devotion, and service. So in the process of giving such effort, one becomes a true child of God and a true Christian. The command, make every effort to enter through the narrow door in verse 24, is testified as the following in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Chapters 5 to 7 in the Gospel of Matthew is called the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus delivered the message on top of a mountain. This message is a part of the conclusion of the sermon. The content of the sermon is about the life of God's people and the extent of our lives that need to be under the sovereignty of God. After the sermon, he says that we are to enter through the narrow gate to indicate that it is insufficient for the people in the kingdom of God to listen to the words of God only, and instead they also need to live out those words. It is the same for today's scripture from the Gospel of Luke. If the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed and the yeast in the flour mix, and people do not recognize the importance and cannot even think about it, does it mean that not many people will be saved? To such question, Jesus replied, "Enter the narrow door." It is insufficient to know about the character and features of the kingdom of God. Instead, Jesus is emphasizing the importance of living by the word. Both the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke are telling us that living in the kingdom of God, living under the reign of God, and thus the life of a true Christian, is entering the narrow door from the start. There are many types of doors, one of which is the revolving door. Some revolving doors are so big that many people can enter at once, but some are so small that only one person can enter at a time. The door Jesus describes is similar to the small revolving door, which allows only one person to enter at a time. So when God calls us, he calls us one by one, not as a group. Jesus says that living the kingdom of God, living as people of God, is like entering the narrow door. So only a few will enter, and a few will seek it out because the path is narrow. It reminds us of a scene in the wilderness where there is a wide 16-lane road where many people pass by, and so not even one wildflower blooms, while on the other hand, there is a small path where so many wild plants are growing unnoticed by people. You may ask, he says that we should take the narrow door, the narrow path, instead of the wide door and wide path. Then is where we stand a middle door and a middle path? After much reflection, are we entering through either this door or that door? No. The Bible clearly states that our original state, how we existed, were being of fault and sin. We did not exist in between death and life. We were on the path to destruction, heading towards the door of death. Jesus is giving life to us and inviting us to a new door and a new path to life. You may also ask, if we enter the wide door and take a wide path, we are doomed. And if we enter the narrow door and take the narrow path to live, then it's our destruction and salvation decided by our choices. It is also no. The Bible never says that we are saved by our decisions or deeds. The Bible says there's no righteous person. And even Jesus said that he came to save the lost. Our salvation is 100% God's work. So we are saved only through faith and through the blood of Jesus for atonement. We enter the narrow door and take the narrow path, not to be saved, but because it depicts that we have been saved. There are times when we are weak, make mistakes, are imperfect, and fail to obey the words of God. But what is important to us is to enter the narrow gate and take the narrow path. A true Christian does not live by the worldly values, considering what is seen as the best of life, trying to own more and have more power. Instead, one deems the unseen and eternal values as the world's best values, and it's transformed to have a sound personality and grows to have the value system of life to love and serve others. So what is important to Christians is that they are headed to God in their lives and that their focus is fixed on Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1-2, it is said, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." In the Revised New Korean Standard Version, the part on fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, is written as fixing our eyes on Jesus, the originator of faith and the perfecter of faith. So Jesus Christ is the one who allows us to start to have faith and to perfect it. So the scripture tells us that even if we have not completed the journey of faith and we are still walking on that path, Jesus stands to help us to complete it at the end. There are three things that we need to live a life that takes Jesus as the purpose, so that we pass through the narrow door and walk the path he leads us. The first is to let go of all the weight. In the ancient times, there were two types of sports games, wrestling and running. All games were to be conducted without any clothes on. Players could not carry anything. One could not fight or run with clothes and accessories on. And the word used to describe the heavy object refers to the fat from the lack of exercise. Have you seen marathon runners that have a beer belly? I read the runners Pongju Lee and Yongzhou Huang weighed around 55 kilograms when they used to run races. Only then they could run more than 40 kilometers. Runners who compete for a 100-meter race and anaerobic exercise have a lot of muscles. It is the same for the race of faith. If we start to have vanity or showing off in our eyes and belly, then we cannot complete this race. If worldly values, such as the obsession over success, cloud our brain, then we are likely to give up. Second is to let go of sins that easily bind us. While the heavy object is the external obstacle, the binding sin is the internal obstacle. A marathon race can be run when our body is fit and ready. But the race of faith requires one more thing to let go. It is sin. Even if our body is ready, if sin binds our ankles, then we cannot run anymore. Gaining weight does not make the race impossible. A big person can lose weight if he runs daily. Similarly, a race of faith helps to lose fat of secular values. But sin causes one to stop running the race at all. After much time passes, sin may cause us to start again, but change the end point of the race. So, even though one may run towards something, the Lord may not be there at the end point, and only futility and regret will remain. Third, we run our race with perseverance. Each person runs his or her individual race, which is not a competition against others, but against each person. One needs perseverance because it goes on, and the race is not easy. Who will be healthier? One who exercises 30 minutes to an hour every day, and one who exercises for 24/7 for a day and rests for 1 month. Between a person who reflects on the Word of God for a short time every day and offers his life for 10 years in the journey of faith, and the one who goes on a 3-day break every 6 months during the 10 years to read the Bible and pray without sleeping and eating, who will have a deeper faith? When we buy new books to study when we were students, didn't we decide to study hard? But such determination rarely stayed the same until the end of each book. So oftentimes, the first few chapters of the book have many marks, but not the chapters in the end, because we study the beginning of each book but do not finish until the end. It is similar to reading the Bible. People set the New Year's resolution to read the Bible once, so Genesis and the book of Matthews are well marked, while other books of the Bible remain clean. Thus, Genesis and the book of Matthews are the popular sources for Bible quizzes held at church because people know those books better. Just as Rome was not established in a day, faith is not completed in a day. Have you tried to draw lines in the schoolyard to play games or sports? How did you draw the straight line? You have to hold the stick and fix your eyes on a point far away and run towards it. Then, even if some parts are slanted, you can draw a straight line in general. If you look towards the ground to draw the line, then some parts may be straight, but the line as a whole becomes slanted. If we run towards Jesus Christ, our eternal point in life, then our lives will become proper. When people go to Rome, the most popular places to visit are St. Peter's Cathedral and the Vatican Museum, where Michelangelo's Creation and the Final Judgment are available for viewing. To enter during the peak period, one needs to stand in line early in the morning. When I went to Rome in the past, I was touched by two places, one of which was the catacomb, the underground graveyard, not the St. Peter's Cathedral, nor the Vatican Museum. The length of the catacomb found thus far is about 900 kilometers. And for about 300 years until Christianity was officially accepted, about 6 million people were to have been buried there. St. Peter's Cathedral and the Vatican Museum were built when Christianity entered through the broadest door and took the widest path, so that the power of the church tried to influence the power of the world. But catacomb was built when being a Christian meant taking the narrow door and walking on the narrow path. There you can find a headless skeleton and armless and legless skeletons. Even though many of them could have confessed that Rome Caesar was the Lord and bowed down at their temple to take the comfortable and broad path of life, they rejected it. Instead, they confessed that Jesus Christ is the Lord and was cut into pieces by beasts at the Colosseum. They lived their entire lives in the underground tunnel and past the narrow door. Another place that touched me is the bone church called Our Lady of the Conception of the Capuchins. It's not a famous place, nor is it well described in the tour guides or maps. Compared to the St. Peter's Cathedral, its size is not even one-tenth of it. But the impression that small church had on me was much greater than that of St. Peter's. The Bone Church is located in the streets of Veneto, and in the worship place located in the basement of the church, the skeleton of more than 4,000 monks are displayed. As you walk among those monks towards the deepest corner, there's a skeleton that is lying in a good posture. Next to it, there's a sign written in Italian, German, French, English, and many others. And it says, "What you are now, we once were. What we are now, you shall be." The world invites us to take the broad door and the wide path. It tells us that entering the narrow door and taking the narrow path is unwise and foolish. But when we take the last breath on earth, we will be judged in front of the Lord. In the past, we lived as you are living now. Just as we are lying down now, you will be like us in the future. A person who truly accepts these words can be built together in the Lord and become people who give their best efforts to enter the narrow door as Jesus told us. Let's pray. Father God, we lived a busy life trying to find as many doors on earth. We wanted to enter doors that are bigger, fancier, higher than others. In order to do so, we said words we should not have said and did things we should not have done. We even ignored the narrow door that you just told us to enter, and ignored it because it did not make us look good. But if we look back on our past life, the door that we thought would help us succeed made us sigh, and the door that would lift us up made us into arrogant people who do not accept God as the Lord. Please give us the faith and courage to obey so that we can enter the narrow door you told us. And however narrow the path may be, may we enjoy walking with you, Lord. Grant us the grace of God who calls our name at the end of our lives and pats our back as we take Jesus as the endpoint of this path. And help us to walk it daily. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.